The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
This is a presentation of Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
Okay, welcome back to Q Who. I am your host, John Russell, and this is episode 212. Today, we will finish our look at season one of Doctor Who, my watch through of it, and I will give you my thoughts on the rest of season one here today, as well as my listen through of the audiobooks for those stories, because I'm listening through the audiobooks in chronological order, or in televised order, I guess I should say, as best as I can, because not all of them are there yet. They haven't recorded all of them or released all of them. The most recent First Doctor novelization release on audiobook was The Reign of Terror, and I am looking forward to listening to it, and that I will hold off until episode 213 of this podcast, so I can go a little more in-depth on it, because it'll be the freshest one in my mind. I've actually listened to several that come after this in the chronology, right through season two, but I will, of course, talk about those during my season two episode of Q Who coming soon. But for now, we will get on with my look at season one, the second half of my look at the watch through slash listen through of season one of Doctor Who, and here we go. All right, Keys of Marinus. Yes, the Keys of Marinus. I've had a love-hate relationship with Keys of Marinus over the years. The first time I saw it, I was fascinated. I think the first time I saw it, I only saw bits of it because a friend of mine had visited some relatives down south in North Carolina, and they had started running the Hartnell era before we did up here in our PBS stations, probably about a year before. And he went and visited and recorded some episodes while he was there, but he didn't get to record the whole story. So he came back with bits and pieces of that, bits and pieces of the Censorites, and I think the complete Aztecs. And that was my introduction to the Hartnell era. And so, yeah, he had taped them on VHS tapes and brought them home. And said, you know, hey, I recorded these. Let's watch them. And we watched all of those. And it was like half of Keys of Marinus and a couple of episodes from the Censorites. And luckily, he'd managed to grab all of the Aztecs. So, I was fascinated. It was like the middle bits of the Keys of Marinus. So those are the most interesting bits anyway. So I loved it. But then when we finally got to see it all, you know, all six episodes, when our PBS station first showed it, it was just like the first episode, interesting, but kind of boring. The last two episodes bored me to tears with that whole courtroom drama, kind of still does to this day. So, but the middle couple of episodes, I really, it's, you know, Keys of Marinus is kind of like three or four stories in one, because it's, you know, they're going to different parts of Marinus looking for the different keys. So it's kind of like poor man's key to time, if you will. And it may, you know, it probably influenced Key to Time years later. But so it was the first time that concept was introduced in Doctor Who, trying to get bits of a key, you know, keys together for a purpose, and the TARDIS crew going from this place and that place. And so, yeah, I enjoyed the middle of Keys of Marinus more than I did the rest of it. So my positives are still just to that, those middle bits. So yeah, it's not a perfect story. It's not a horrible story. I don't hate it. I think it's interesting. I just think it's let down by the last couple of episodes, which is that courtroom drama, which didn't completely work for me. I don't know. It could have been better. Could have been better. But the story as a whole is pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. So I kind of have to give it 2.5 stars or 2.5 tortoises out of 5. So it's all right. The novelization hasn't come out yet, but it is due in September. September 1st in the UK, and probably not to the first of the year here in the US, because again, they, with the audiobooks of the novelizations, they kind of release them in a batch or two. Over here, we usually get one batch over the summer, and then at the first of the year, we get the other half. The Keys of Marriage is supposed to come out September 1st in the UK on audio CD and digital download, but we probably won't get it, I'm sure, until January or February of next year over here in the U.S. So I won't be able to listen to that for a while. But when I do, I will review it. I'll review it here. So I look forward to it because, you know, the novelization is probably going to be better. that's my thinking. I hope so anyway. I have never read the novelization. I have it, but I've never read. I've got all the Target novels, but that's one of them I never got around to reading for one reason or another. I don't know why. Maybe it was just because I remember watching it and being bored with most of it, so I just couldn't be bothered reading it. One that I have read, though, is The Aztecs. And I recently listened to the audiobook of that as well, and of course I watched my DVD. And The Aztecs is a very strong Hartnell story. It's the one that they chose during the 50th anniversary year to show on BBC America as an example of the best of William Hartnell. So in that year, if you didn't see any of that stuff, or you don't remember, or you're not from America, BBC America took a story every month and presented it, you know, a different doctor each month that year. And for the Hartnell one in January of that year, they chose the Aztecs to present as the example of the best William Hartnell story in their opinion. And it's a strong story. It's not my favorite Hartnell story, obviously, but of the ones that existed, it wouldn't have been the one that I chose to show as, you know, here's an example of William Hartnell necessarily, but it is a strong one. So they made a good choice. It just wouldn't have been my choice. But The Aztecs is a fine piece of drama as well. It holds up exceptionally well. And it really plays with that concept of, can you change history? Should you change history? Et cetera, et cetera. So it has some really, really interesting things in it. It paces up really well. It's a good story, a good solid story, a good piece of drama. And I mean, historically, as much as we know about the Aztecs, I guess it's historically accurate. It's as historically accurate as you can probably get. So it's an interesting story. I think it was written by John Lucarotti. And I've always enjoyed the serial of that. It was the first complete William Hartnell serial I ever saw. And I enjoyed it then. I enjoy it now. And I give it 3.5 TARDISes for the televised story. The audiobook, I also give 3.5 TARDISes. The audiobook is, it pretty much follows the serial word for word for the most part. There's very little different in the audiobook from what you see. So, you know, I could easily visualize it when I was listening to it. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. That was one of the ones I did read way back in the 80s. And I think I can't remember if I read it before I actually saw it or afterwards. Probably before. So, but I remember the first time I read it, it just didn't all sink in, you know, it just didn't all sink in, but from the TV episodes, I really appreciated it more than from the book at the time. But listening to the audiobook, yeah, it's an enjoyable enjoyable listen. But again, it's pretty much paint by numbers novelization, and it follows the script very, very closely, which isn't a bad thing. But I do, these days, I kind of like it when they expand the story a bit with the novelizations. Back in those days, since we didn't have access to all these episodes, I really wanted them to stick to the scripts and bring, you know, bring the scripts across accurately. But these days, I tend to feel that, yeah, I want them to expand the story a bit. The first time I saw The Sense Rites, again, I saw about the first four episodes that my friend had recorded. He didn't get the chance to record the ending of the story. I was completely fascinated. That one really hooked me in, especially part one, I think, is fantastic. The rest of the story, the other episodes aren't quite as engaging as part one. Part one really sold the story, and I love that cliffhanger. That's one of my favorite cliffhangers of all Doctor Who, with that Sensorite outside the spaceship window. That is creepy. That is, you know, it's kind of like 50s sci-fi. it was really nice. It was really good. On that alone, I love the Sensorites. I did appreciate the story more this time, watching it through, and then listening to the audiobook as well, I really enjoyed. That one kind of expanded on a few points here and there a bit, but for the most part, it stayed pretty true to the serial. But it was a really good novelization, so I enjoyed listening to it. So I give the TV story, the serial, 3.5 TARDISes. And I give the novelization 3.5 TARDISes. Both are adequate. Let's just put it that way. All right, we come to The Reign of Terror. Of course, we all know that episodes 4 and 5 are missing. And they animated that. That was one of the early animations. And it is much maligned by the fandom. And you, typically, it's maligned for one scene. There is one scene in there where they went, I don't know, it wasn't very well animated, because there's a lot of quick cuts and just this one scene. It is actually just one scene that this happens, but everybody remembers that, and they think that's how the entire animation is, and so therefore they hate the animation. I think for that reason alone, people hate The Reign of Terror animation, and I hear nothing but bad things about it, but actually, it's a really solid animation, in my opinion. This is just my opinion, so you can throw your rotten tomatoes if you want, but I think The Reign of Terror animation is the best animation they've done so far, of all of them. And I'll tell you why, because the likenesses are spectacular, and for me, they really captured the story. And going from the live action episodes into the animated episodes does not feel jarring at all for me, because it's just like they've taken to me, like they just painted over the film with animation. And I think they did just a fantastic job on the animation for that story. And I can't praise it enough. I think it was wonderful. Yes, there's that one scene where they had some really quick edits. And, I don't know why. I don't know why they did it that way. Maybe they're running out of time or running out of money, and they just hurried. And that was the last scene they were working on, and they hurried up and threw it together. I don't know. But because of that one scene where you see that stuff where it's real quick takes and it's really close up on certain characters and everything's just moving at 1,000 miles a minute, everybody hates this animation because of that, and they have the impression that the entire animation is like that, and it is not. I beg any of you out there who feel that this is a poor animation to go back and watch it again. Watch the whole story through and watch the animation, and then come back at me and tell me it's a bad animation. I think you will find you were mistaken the first time. And if you haven't seen it, and if you haven't seen it because of people bashing it, don't listen. Do not listen to these people. Watch it. Pick up the DVD. Watch this animation. Hopefully, whenever they get around to doing a season one Blu-ray box set, they'll go back and tweak that scene and make it flow better, and you won't have those quick cuts. Hopefully, yeah, they'll do something to fix that bit so that it's not so malign, and maybe people will rediscover it and realize that they actually did a good job. And I love the animation. I love the look of it. They captured the likenesses of the characters so flawlessly, so perfectly. And they captured Hartnell. They captured, you know, everybody. Even the guest cast, where you could actually take some license and maybe not capture the likenesses so perfectly. But they did. Everybody looks like the actors who played them. The backgrounds are really beautiful. Everything about it is really good. That's my favorite animation. It really is. And it's fantastic. I enjoyed it as much this time as I did the first time I saw it. I've never understood the criticism of it. I don't know. The story itself is probably not one of the more popular stories because it's a historical. Historicals don't tend to be that popular with Doctor Who fans for whatever reason. But some of my favorite stories are the historicals. And I think this one holds up very well. I love the story. I love the televised version. For the televised version, I give it 4 TARDISes out of 5. The animation, I give it 4.5 TARDISes out of 5. I think this is as good as it gets. I would love to see that style return if they do more Hartnells in particular. I would love to see that style. I would love to see that style on the last few Troughtons that they got. If they did that, the Highlanders that way, it would be so beautiful. I digress. I really enjoyed the story of the Reign of Terror. I think about in the middle, this view through, I got a little bit bored, but I don't think it was because of the story. I just think it was, whatever was going on at the time when I was watching it. This has been weeks ago, but I don't remember what was going on, but I just remember a couple of not great days in there somewhere. And, for whatever reason, I wasn't as into it as I normally would be, but then I got to the animation and it drew me back in. But I've always loved the Reign of Terror from reading the Target novelization back in the 80s when I was a teenager. Quite enjoyed it. And seeing it and seeing the animation, I really loved it. When it first came out on VHS and they just had some linking narration, I enjoyed seeing it, but then when they animated it, I appreciated it even more. So, Reign of Terror, yeah, 4 TARDISes out of 5 for the story. For the animation itself, 4.5. I think it's wonderful. So, if you haven't seen it, you should. You should. If you like the Hartnell era, you've got to watch it. I think it's a good story. It's one of the stronger stories from season one, in my opinion. I really, really enjoyed The Reign of Terror, and I really, really love that animation. It is my favorite animation because I think it's the one that captures the characters' likenesses absolutely the best. And I just think I can't say it's flawless. Obviously, it's flawed, especially for that one scene. But I just hate that people always refer to that one bit and they judge the entire animation on it. The entire animation is not like that. It's one scene where things just kind of went off the rails. But after that, it's perfect. It's perfect. It's wonderful. So I love it. I think Reign of Terror is a good story. And I think the animation is spot on. Fantastic. All right. That is my review of my watch through of season one of Doctor Who. And, I hope you've enjoyed my discussion. This has gone a lot longer than I intended. I didn't intend to to rattle on, witter on, whatever you want to say it. So, but anyway, I hope you have enjoyed the discussion. I hope you've enjoyed listening to me ramble on about my watch through. And if there's any topic concerning classic Doctor Who that you would like me to talk about, drop me a line at darkbuilding1@yahoo.com. And with the subject header, Q Who, you know, something like that. Q Who comments, something like that, so I know it's pertaining to this particular show. And so maybe you have a topic you would like me to talk about, whether it's missing episodes or something you think I should review that I haven't, you know, whatever it may be that you think I should discuss. Or if you'd like to come on the show and discuss something, let me know. I'm always open to that stuff. In the meantime, we do have a YouTube channel, which you may be experiencing this on. If not, you should check it out. Subscribe, all that good stuff. We're trying to build that channel, and I'd like to get 50 subscribers by the end of the year. We have about 29 as of this recording, so it'd be nice to get, you know, about 20 more subscribers or so. If we reach 50 subscribers, I may do a video version of my podcast DBB, and you can look at my ugly mug for the first time, if that's something that you want. Maybe that's a detractor. So if you want to see a video version of DBB, then yeah, definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is JPR Guy is what it's called. And you'll find a link to that on our website, dreamrealmsite.com. Or go to YouTube and just look up our videos. You can look up JPR Guy, or you can look up Q Who or DBB or any of that. And you'll find the videos that I have put up there, the audios that I've turned into videos. But they don't show my ugly mug. So if you want to see that, you're going to have to help us build our YouTube channel. So if I can get up to 50 subscribers by the end of the year, and hopefully we'll go beyond that, beyond the end of the new year, but and keep growing. But I would like to see 50 by Christmas time, put it that way. Okay, and that was my watch through / listen through of season one. As I said before, I've only just managed to get the 5 CD set of the audiobook of The Reign of Terror, which was written by Ian Martyr. He did the novelization, and it was read by Jamie Glover. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to that. It's a 5-disc set. It only just came in, only just came out in the UK. It hasn't hit here in the States yet, but The Reign of Terror, the audio book on CD, just came out in the UK recently this summer, and I did manage to procure a copy from overseas. The U.S. release, the way they release them over here is a bit funky. They only release them in batches of about 4 or 5 at the beginning of the year and in the middle of the year. It's weird. I don't know why they do that, but rather than release them monthly as they do in the UK, we get a batch of them at one time. I don't see how that helps the sales at all, but whatever. So I'm trying to stay up to date with them and get them as quickly as possible. Sometimes I'm able to grab them from overseas, and sometimes I have to wait till the American version releases. But in the case of The Reign of Terror, I was able to grab the UK release and get it in a timely fashion. So I will get to finally listen to that and review it, which I will do in the next episode of Q Who. So bear with me on that, but that gives me a chance to have a good listen to this over the course of the next week or so, and then I can talk to you about that when I'm finished with it. And so unless something else pops up in Doctor Who classic news, you won't hear from me until I'm ready to review that and then talk about season 2, my watch through and listen through of season 2, which I've been doing and have been really enjoying, and coming on the tail of that, we get the news that season 2 is coming out on Blu-ray and the collection box set, so I can't wait to watch it again and see what it looks like on Blu-ray. I'm sure it'll be amazing. But at any rate, I will wrap this up here, and we will be back with you real soon with the next Q Who. You know the drill. Please stay tuned.
You have been listening to a fan production for Dream Realm Enterprises. This is a not-for-profit program.